I want to begin this morning by reading a couple of select verses. You have those verses on the handout for you there, listed under the big picture. We are in a series of lessons entitled Connected to Jesus, and we're working out of a selection of scripture found between John chapters 13 and 17. And we're kind of right in the middle of that today. I've selected a few verses out of chapter 14, and I have placed them for you in the bulletin. And if you'd like to read them here with me, you can, or if you would like to just listen to them read, that would be fine as well. On the last night that Jesus was with his disciples, just before he was betrayed and handed over to the Jewish authorities, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Let's pray. Father, may the words that your Spirit has given us, the words of Jesus that we've just read, may they sink into our hearts this morning. Father, in many ways, we're not very good at obeying you. And so may we be reminded this morning the importance of obeying Jesus and the things that he taught. We've gathered here in his name. We have sung of our love for him. May we then demonstrate our love through our obedience to him. Help us to think about this today in ways that are helpful and encouraging. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I think a reading of Scripture will teach us is that if we are truly connected to Jesus and alive in him, we are going to walk in obedience with Jesus. Now, the question I want you to ponder this morning, and I'll do it as well, is this. Would it be fair to say that we are walking in obedience with Jesus? Now, while you think about that, I want to share some scriptures with you that reinforce the importance of obedience. Throughout his ministry, and this is, if you like to take notes, if that helps you stay awake and gives you something to do, this will be the first blank that you have there on the handout that you received as you entered our facility. Throughout his ministry, Jesus taught his disciples the importance of obedience. This is found throughout the Gospels. We don't have time to look at all of the examples, obviously, that I could pull out of Scripture this morning to reinforce that point. But I have chosen two that I want to look at with you here real briefly. One of these should be fairly fresh on your memory. Just a few weeks ago, we concluded our look at the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells a little parable that emphasizes the importance of obedience to the things that he taught. You remember this parable. It's where Jesus said the words, "He who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice. What is that? What does it mean to put what Jesus taught into practice? Another word for that would be what? Obedience. Yeah. If I hear what Jesus has said and I then put that into practice in my life, that is obedience. That's what obedience looks like. It's hearing what Jesus said and then doing it. And Jesus says, if I do that, my life will be blessed. I'll be like the man who built his house on a rock. The rain will come, the winds will blow, the floods will rise, but my house will stand firm. But he then goes on to say, if, on the other hand, you hear these words of mine and don't put them into practice, what would that, another word for that would be what? Disobedience. If I hear what Jesus said but I don't do it, that's disobeying him, right? So those who hear the words of Jesus but don't do them, Jesus says, they're like the foolish man who built his house on sand. And when the rains came and the winds blew and the floods rose, that man's house collapsed with a great crash. So here is Jesus. Here's what I want you to see. At the end of this great sermon, this sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount, at the end of this sermon, after all that he has taught throughout this sermon, Jesus ends the sermon with these words. He who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is wise. Another passage which emphasizes the importance of obedience is also found in the Gospel of Matthew. This one at the end of Matthew's Gospel. So if you're flipping through the Scriptures with me and you've got your Scriptures open, which I certainly hope you do, flip over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and following. Here we have the last spoken words of Jesus recorded in Matthew's Gospel. And many of you will be familiar with this passage. Maybe not everyone, but many of you will be. Many of you could probably quote this passage. Here Jesus says, right before he ascends back to the Father, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Now, there's a lot I'd like to unpack in that passage that I won't get to today, but I do want to use it to call your attention to the last part of what Jesus says there. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus instructed his disciples to go and make disciples, and apparently the process, the making of disciples, involved two things. One, baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and two, a willingness to obey the teachings of Jesus. A disciple then, right? You're looking at it. According to Matthew's Gospel, a disciple is one who, having come to faith in Jesus, has been baptized in the triune name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and who is now walking in obedience to what Jesus taught. Okay? Now, these are just two of many examples that I could call your attention to this morning where obedience to the things that Jesus has taught, the Word of God, is emphasized throughout his ministry. Up until the very moment he ascended back to the Father, Jesus taught his disciples the importance of obeying his teachings and doing the will of the Father. So obedience was important to Jesus. He taught it. He taught his disciples. What it means to be connected to me is that you're going to take the things that I've taught you and actually do them. That's part of what it means to be a disciple. As a gathering of disciples of Jesus Christ this morning, we are committed to doing what Jesus taught. Amen? Yeah. Yes, that's who we are. If we're connected to Jesus, we understand that what that means. That means is Jesus is my Lord. Jesus has the authority to tell me what to do and what not to do. So as a disciple of Jesus, it is my heart, my passion, if I'm connected to him, to walk in obedience with him. Now, not only did he teach that, he also modeled it, right? Jesus, throughout his life, modeled obedience for his disciples. It wasn't just Jesus saying, do this because I told you to. It was also Jesus saying, watch me as I do this myself. And so you have scriptures like this. John 6, verse 38, Jesus told his disciples, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. So Jesus doesn't just tell his disciples what to do. He models for them. Here's how I want you to live. I'm committed to doing this myself. I'm not just here to do what I want to do. I'm here to do what the will of the one who has sent me wants me to do. I'm not just telling you what to do. I'm modeling for you how to live. I'm going to model for you obedience. And nowhere do we see that any better, any clearer than in the last few hours of the night where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And he's on his knees and he's praying. What's he praying? Father, let this cup pass from me. And that's a reference to the suffering that he's about to endure, right? He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be handed over to the authorities. He's going to be beaten. He's then going to be crucified on the cross. Jesus is asking the Father, Father, if it's your will, let this cup of suffering pass from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. And so Jesus prays that three times, and then what does he do? He does what God sent him to do. He allows Judas to betray him. He allows the guards to take him. He allows himself to be beaten. And finally, he allows himself to be nailed to the cross. Because that's what the Father sent him to do. And Jesus' will was, whatever my Father wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Jesus didn't just teach his disciples to be obedient. He modeled it for them. He showed them what a life of obedience looks like. Because of that, the early church, we believe, wrote a hymn about Jesus, where this very characteristic is emphasized. It's recorded in the book that we call Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. We think this was an ancient hymn that the early church sang about Jesus. Listen to the words. Talking about Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be, some of your translations say, held on to. Some of your other translations say, to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming what? Obedient to death, even death on a cross. The ancient church, when they thought of Jesus, when they looked at Jesus, what came to their minds? Jesus didn't just teach us to be obedient, he modeled it. He showed us how to obey the will of the Father. He lived a life of obedience, even to the point that he was willing to go to the cross and die on our behalf. Thus, Jesus not only taught his disciples to be obedient, he modeled that obedience as well. Obedience, then, is central. It's key to what it means to be connected to Jesus. Now, kind of got all the foundation stuff here out of the way. I suspect that whenever someone talks about obedience, this is not something that everybody gets up on the edge of their seats and thinks, wow, tell me more. Because I think many of us really don't want to be told what to do, do we? We really don't like that. Americans really don't like to be told what to do. I can't speak for other cultures and other countries, but I think our country, there's something about our DNA, we don't like to be told what to do. Maybe that's just a human trait across every culture. I don't know, but it's certainly evident, I think, in our culture. So as a result of that, you're probably already, I'm not really sure I really like where he's going with this. I don't really like the idea of obedience. I'm not really sure I really want to hear all about that. Well, I get that, but stay with me. There may be also, in addition to somebody thinking, well, I don't really like to be told what to do, I'm not sure I like obedience, there may also just be some natural questions that may be coming to your mind as I have been talking now for about 10 minutes on the topic of obedience. And one of those questions that might be bouncing around in the minds of some people is this: does Jesus really expect me to obey all of his teachings? Is that really what Jesus expects me to do? Now, while you're thinking about that, the guys have a little video in the back, a little clip, just about 2 minutes, be very short. But you continue to think about your answer to that question and watch this.
What's the deal?
What?
I told you 3 days ago to clean your room.
I know.
Well, I'm glad you know. It's a mess.
I memorized what you said.
What do you mean you memorized what I said?
Every word.
Wait, you memorized that I told you to clean your room?
Yes. And I learned how to say it in Spanish and in Hebrew. And if you want to know how to say it in Spanish, it's Yo limpio el dormitorio.
That's what? That's Spanish.
Spanish.
Okay.
And I read a book. It's called 5 Ways to Clean Your Room. It just really helped me to understand, like, what you said, and it was really life-changing. It was awesome. And I had friends from my small group over. It was so good. We talked about, like, the importance of a clean room and, like, what it's like to have a clean room and, like, how you should have a clean room. It was so good. It was absolutely incredible. And Susie came over. You remember? Yeah. She came over and we, like, mapped it out on a sheet of paper on what my room would have been like when I did clean it. And it looked really good. Like, everything was really precise.
Okay, well, keep up the good work.
Thanks. I love you. Keep holding me accountable.
That little clip makes a good point. Jesus didn't say, I'm good with you just memorizing some of the things I said. No. He didn't say, just memorize a few of the things I said, that'll be good. You're not impressed, as that father wasn't impressed, when you tell a child of yours, hey, clean your room, it's a mess. And 3 days later, well, I memorized what you said, but your room is still a mess, right? That doesn't leave you very impressed. Well, okay, so we memorize. Love your neighbor and forgive your enemy. So we memorize. Do to others as you would have done to you. Okay, good, but the issue is, do we do that, right? Jesus didn't say, go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey just a few of the things that I taught. Just a few will be okay. Just go do a few things and we'll be good. Is that what your Bible reads? That's not how mine reads. Jesus didn't say, baptize them and then teach them to obey those things that they really like. You know, pick out the commands that are easy, and I'll be good with that. I'll be good with that. Teach them to obey just 10% of the things I've taught, and we'll be cool. We'll be good. Everything will be all right. Do you have your Bible open? Do you have your screen open? What does Jesus say there? He said, go make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey what? What does your Bible say? Huh? I can't hear anybody. What? All? What does some of your other Bibles say? What? Everything. Now, here's the question: Does Jesus really mean that? Did Jesus really say to his disciples, go teach them to obey everything that I commanded? Is Jesus really serious about our obedience? Well, let me try to put this in a way that I think you can understand. Yes. Yeah. He's really serious about that. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. He's serious about that. That wasn't a suggestion. That's how he wants his people to live. He is serious about loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. He's serious about that stuff. He's not just saying those things just to have something to say and something to write so that we can read it and memorize it years later. He really wants us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. He really wants us to treat other people the way we ourselves want to be treated. He really does want us to forgive those who've wounded us and to love even our enemies. Jesus really wants His church, His people, to obey His commands. And not just the ones we're comfortable with, not just the ones that are easy, not just the ones that fit with our perspective, but all of them. That's what He said. Go teach them to observe everything that I taught. Now, a second question that might lead some of you to ask is, oh man, that's not even possible, is it? Is it even possible to obey everything that Jesus taught? Well, it must be, right? I mean, why else would he have said, go teach them to obey everything I've taught if it wasn't possible to do that? Why would Jesus have said, go do this, go teach them to obey what I've taught if it's not even possible to do that? But now I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, but come on. Nobody can do that. Nobody, that's just ridiculous. Nobody can obey all that Jesus taught, all that Jesus gave when He was here. You're just being unreasonable, Charlie. You're being silly. You've not preached in so long you forgot how to preach, right? You're thinking, that can't be. That's not possible. Well, okay. Let's think about that. What does it mean to be a disciple? To be a disciple means that your heart wants to do what? Your heart wants to be like your teacher, right? That's what being a disciple means. A disciple means I'm going to learn from someone else how to be like that person. Are you with me? So by confessing my love for Jesus and my willingness to be immersed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I am saying to the world, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Well, how did Jesus live? Well, Jesus lived an obedient life. Well, now, but okay, it doesn't mean that. I can't do that. I'm not Jesus. I can't be like Jesus. Wait a minute. I want you to stay with me here for the next couple of moments. I'm going to lay something on you that I think is true, but we may not think about it. Is it that we can't be like Jesus, or is it that we don't think we can be like Jesus? Or maybe we just don't want to be like Jesus. Let me be clear about what I'm asking here. Is it possible for a disciple of Jesus to live like Jesus, a completely obedient life? Is that even possible? Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I'm thinking some of you in the back of your mind might be thinking, no, that's not possible. Sin is too powerful. Sin is too prevalent. Sin is too strong. We cannot be perfect in our obedience like Jesus. Wait a minute. I want you to think about something here. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6 and verse 18 says, you have been set free from sin. Now, in the context of what he's saying, I can't unpack all of it, but here's what he's saying. In the context of what he's talking about there, he's not just talking about the guilt of sin that we've been set free from. We've been set free from the power of sin. We have been set free from sin. We are now slaves to righteousness. That means, as a result of our falling in love with Jesus and now becoming His disciple and walking with Him, we have been set free from our bondage to sin. We are now slaves to righteousness. Are you with me? That's biblical, folks. Jesus has delivered us from the power, not just the guilt of sin, but from the power of sin. We've been, just as the captives of Israel were delivered and set free from the bondage of the Egyptians, we in Jesus have been set free from the power of sin. That's Scripture. So, here's what that means now. The only power, you can tweet this, the only power sin has over the believer is the power the believer gives it. Right? If I've been set free from something, that means it no longer has any power over me. Scripture says I've been set free from the power of sin. I'm now a slave to righteousness. Okay? So the only power sin has over me now is the power I give it, because Jesus has removed the power of sin from my life. So if sin still has a hold on me, a power over me, it's only because I'm letting it do so. Here's a good analogy, I think, that helps understand this. We're a lot like the elephant tethered to the ground by a little one-inch rope and a stake. How many of you remember seeing that iconic image? Or maybe you've seen it in person years ago, back when you might go to a circus and you'd see the elephants out in the back. Now you might see them in a cage. But there have been times in the past where an elephant would be tied with a rope to a stake to the ground, and that elephant would walk only as far as that rope would let that elephant go, right? Now, think of the incongruity of that image. An elephant is one of the most powerful animals on the planet. A fully grown, mature elephant could easily snap that rope in half or pull that stake out of the ground. Why doesn't he do it then? Because he's been conditioned to believe he can't do it. From infancy, that elephant has been conditioned to believe that rope, that stake, control me. I can't get away from that. I wonder if that's not a very helpful image to what some of us now think about sin and its power over us. Why do followers of Jesus, who, by the way, and we're going to talk about this next week, are empowered by the very same Spirit that guided Jesus and enabled him to fulfill his ministry, live the life that God sent him to live. We have the very same Spirit in us as he had in him. Why do followers of Jesus, who are empowered by the very same Spirit, say things like, well, we can't be like Jesus. We can't live like Jesus lived. This is just the way I am. I've always been this way. I'll always be this way. I can't change this about myself. Really? Is that really true? That I'm so stuck in a behavior that with the help of Jesus and His Spirit, I can't change? Doesn't that kind of go against the grain of Scripture? I'm pretty sure Scripture teaches us that in Christ, all things are possible. So, maybe it's not impossible to be like Jesus. Maybe it's we've just heard for so long that we can't be. We've believed it. Or we've heard others say it, and so now we believe it. We can't really be like Jesus. I'm not sure Scripture actually teaches that. I won't say who he is because I don't want to embarrass him. But I've had a good mentor over the years who's taught me a lot of good things. And some of what I'm sharing with you right now is a result of some conversations I've had with a member of our church in recent weeks who, when I first started hearing what he said, I didn't get it. I didn't really agree with it either. But I've rethought some of what he said, and I think I understand what he's saying. We can be like Jesus. That's the whole point of being a disciple, isn't it? The whole point of the Spirit being in us is to transform us into the likeness of Jesus. So in this respect, we don't want to be like the Israelites, who, when they got to the promised land, said, "We can't do that." And it really wasn't about them being able to do it, because God was going to do it for them, but they wouldn't believe what God had said, "I'll do for you," and so they didn't go in. We don't want to be like that, right? Here's some good news. The gospel can change us. The Spirit can transform us. No matter what we're stuck in, no matter how much brokenness we have in our life, God can work on us. God can change us. God can do things in us that create fundamental changes in our behavior and in our thinking. That's what the Spirit does. That's possible in Jesus. We don't want to be in the position of the Israelites where we say, "No, God can't do that." Right? God can't make me like that. God can't help me with that problem. This is just the way I am. It's the way I'm always going to be. No. No. The gospel, the good news of the kingdom is that in Christ, things that would otherwise be impossible are possible. So is it possible? Is it even possible to live an obedient life to Jesus? Yes, it is. But now here's one final question. A lot of us aren't anywhere close to that, are we? Right? A lot of us are saying, "Well, I'm so not like Jesus. Maybe I'm okay in some areas, but in others I'm a long way from looking anything like Jesus." So where does that leave me? There's some good news for us too. What happens when I'm not obedient like Jesus? One last scripture to share with you. I need to hurry. I need to hustle. 1 John 2, 1 through 2. For those of us who are still in the process of being fully shaped into the perfect likeness of Jesus, we have this promise in Scripture from the Apostle John. He writes, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin." John wrote this letter to people so that they would not sin. "I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin," that's me, right? I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself. On occasion, I still sin. I still come up short. So this is speaking to me. I don't want to sin, but sometimes I do. What happens then? The next words, John says, is we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. When I'm not completely obedient the way I want to be, I have an advocate who stands up for me and says to the Father, "I know this one. I know their heart. I know they're trying. I know they're grieved for what they've done. Father, forgive them." And one day, with our help, they're going to look and act just like me. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Jesus, the righteous one, is our advocate. When we don't live up to the standard, when we don't obey as we're called to, we have an advocate who says, "Father, I know this one. I know their heart. And I know they're trying." He defends us. He comes to our defense, is what an advocate does. And isn't that good news? Yeah, it is. Because I'm not yet fully like Jesus. And so I need to be defended. May we leave this place today believing the good news of the gospel, that in Jesus, sin no longer has any power over us. Remember that this week. And may we remember that the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. In Christ, we've been set free from the power of sin. Many of us, though, are still learning this. And thankfully, when we disobey Him, we don't give up. We don't despair. We turn to our advocate who defends us and speaks to the Father on our behalf. Praise God, praise God, praise God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.